Blog Talk Radio.
Got me?
Welcome, 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 everyone. This happens to be JT. I happen to be the co-host of The Chaser. In walks the man with the plan. We're talking about the guy who gives it to you straight, and the name of the show is No Chaser. We're talking about Mac Williams. He happens to be on board, and he's the man in control. We have a great show in store for you tonight. We have Pat The Rock as a special guest, and he happens to be sitting online right now, Mac, so introduce yourself to the people, and then we can bring in Pat. How's that?
Okay. This is Mac Williams. You are listening to No Chaser with Mac Williams. We are on for another week. We had a great week last week with David Aldridge, and this week we are back with our special guest, Pat The Rock. And Pat, you know, introduce yourself to all the people out there. They know who you are. But I've known Pat for a long time, and, you know, Pat's a great guy, and he's agreed to come on here and be a special guest, and I really appreciate it. So, Pat, the floor is yours, brother. Introduce yourself. Hello?
Hello, Pat? Hello? Hello,
is
Pat?
Is he on?
He's supposed to be on. I'm looking at him. He's supposed to be on, Pat.
Oh, our software's
call
on like that, man?
Call from the 410. You there?
Yes, I am. I didn't push the button, but I'm calling to say congratulations to my son.
Hi, Ma.
Okay.
Hi. And I can tell you some good stories about Mac, but I won't.
Don't.
I want you to tell him.
No, I won't do that. He'll disown me.
Don't do that.
I won't do that. Not this time.
I love you, Ma.
Love you, too. I didn't push the button, though. But.
No, I know. He pulled you in. He probably thought you were Pat.
No, not Pat. All right, bye-bye.
Okay. Bye, Mom.
Bye.
Oh, boy, I tell you. I love
it's
my
okay.
family.
It's no problem. It's no problem. Everybody's
right.
Welcome on the show, man.
Absolutely. Is Pat here yet?
No, he is not here. Okay. Let me do one. You keep talking, and I'll do what my thing here, see if I can draw him in here, all right?
Okay, all right. You know what the number is?
No, I don't. If you can text it to me,
okay.
Then we can go from there.
I am broadcasting. I just want to let all the audience members know I'm broadcasting live from the Goodman. I am in my car waiting. I have to coach tonight. I have to coach the champions of the Goodman League, the Lincoln Park. And that's why I am here. I am here waiting for them to call my name so I can go in and coach them. So, what I want to talk about today, one of the things I'm going to talk about today is clutch. What is clutch? You know, I had an argument today with a friend, and, you know, I just argued with him today, and I posted today things that were clutch. I posted the San Francisco, the catch game. I put Barry Sanders on. I did a lot of stuff. I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, what is clutch? You know, and I'm going to tell you what my definition of clutch is. I'm going to definitely tell you what my definition of clutch is. My definition of clutch is a person, as far as a sports figure, who is in an adverse situation, down in score, in a game that is either a win or go home, a game that is a major playoff game, my measurement of clutch, you have to understand, I grew up as a child of the 70s, so I grew up watching different people than what this generation, new generation is watching now, and I've seen
right.
a lot of moments, okay? So for me, clutch to me is, it has to be a game where you're down or the win is in doubt. It has to be a significant game. It can't just be a regular season game. It can't be I got another game tomorrow. It's got to be something that extends the series, gets you into a Super Bowl, gets you into a Stanley Cup, or an elimination game or something like that. That to me, is the first qualification for a clutch game. Adverse situations, you have to be now in an adverse situation where you're trying to either come back or you're trying to win a game or what have you. So, and in that, and in those type of games, in those pressure situations, you have to perform. Whether it's throw a key touchdown, march your team down the field, I think most people know what clutch is. But for some reason, with LeBron James, it's different. I posted on Facebook yesterday. What I posted on Facebook yesterday was, you know, LeBron did his, you know, had a great game yesterday. He did his thing. He did what he was supposed to do. You know, I gave him all kudos. But what I said after that also, which sort of riled guys up, was, but one game don't make you no clutch player. One game don't make you no, it doesn't make you that, it doesn't change the reputation. It doesn't change what you're known for. And you have to do it consistently. And, you know, a few people, include one of my friends, just, you know, he just jumped on it and just, like, went crazy. You know, he was like, oh, you're saying he's not this, he's not that. Let me make it clear. Since we're on my show and there's no chaser, LeBron is not clutch. He had a great performance yesterday. That's great. But before last night, here's a stat for all you people that are listening. Before last night, the stat line was that in games, in series where he was down 3-2, he never extended the series until last night. So that means in the whole time he's been in the NBA, he has not extended a series 3-2 till last night. Great, I give him kudos for that. But that don't mean now all of a sudden he's clutch. You know, we're still waiting to see what do you do tomorrow in Game 7. Do I believe he'll perform in Game 7? I absolutely believe he'll perform in Game 7. I believe he'll do his part. The question is, will everybody else on his team do their part? So my thing is, like I said, Jerry, you know, and I'm just kind of talking to the fans and people who are listening, you know, what is clutch? I mean, I'm sorry. That's what clutch is. Clutch is, you know, when you post things like the catch from San Francisco, when you put on a highlight film of Barry Sanders and watch the games that he played, when you put on Lawrence Taylor, as I posted today too, these are people who did things in adverse situations, who made a big play at a key time to save the season, put you in the Super Bowl, put you into the finals, or, you know, won a playoff game, you know, or Game 7, something. But, you know, I already told you, you know, I told you off air, man. These people, I don't know. You know, these people who get all emotional, get angry, get mad about LeBron, they get all riled up, make excuses for him, they do all this. I don't honestly know. I just don't honestly know who I'm talking to. You know?
Okay. Well,
say what you got to say. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, what I was going to say is I want you to calm yourself down, because our guest happens to be on the line waiting for us to bring him in. I'm talking about Pat the Rock. World-renowned street baller Pat the Rock. Mac, do you want to do the honors or what? Mac? Well, Pat the Rock, how you doing? My name is JT. I happen to be the co-host of The Chaser. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, man? Glad you can have me, man.
I'm blessed to have you on the show. You're world-renowned street baller. You are involved in a lot of things, outspoken. You're I'm looking at your website. You have a blog. I understand you are into a lot of things that spite your interest. Do me a favor and introduce yourself. Sorry about that. To the people who are listening, and also to myself.
Okay. Patrick Robinson, A.K.A. Pat the Rock. Known as the world's greatest dribbler, ball handler, straight out of Maryland, born and raised. Definitely a big basketball fan. You know, I grew up around some of the greatest basketball players in this Maryland, D.C. area. So, you know, I have a lot of knowledge of the game, and know, just also with a lot of the travels, you know, globally that I've been able to do. So I'm just glad to be on the show and, you know, talk it up about some hoops, man.
All right.
And Mac, you happen to be back?
Yep, I'm back, man.
Pat the Rock is here.
No, I heard him. I heard him introduce himself. Pat, you know we know each other for a minute. We've been knowing each other since you was coming down here on the And One Tour. And I have watched you on TV and watched you in person. In fact, you're out toward my way. I live in Waldorf, and you're out, you tend to be out that way when you are home, out that way. I've been to Sport and Fitness, so I know you're in the hood, man. So, glad to have you, man. I appreciate you doing the show, man. You know, I definitely plan to bring you back at certain times, man, to come in and talk. I know right now you are with Ball Up. Is that correct?
Yeah, right now I'm on the Ball Up television show. That'll be coming out this summer, so stay tuned.
Okay. All right. Well, let me ask you a question, Pat. Let's just, you know, dig into it. I was just ranting and raving here, you know, talking to Jerry and talking to the listeners about what is clutch. I kind of described it. I don't know if you heard me. But to me, clutch is a lot more than just, you know, it's not just hitting a shot. It's hitting a shot that means something in an adverse situation. And you take your team on your back or you change things or what have you. So, you know, I'm just coming to you saying, what is your definition of clutch?
Yeah, clutch, I think, is, you know, a person who always wants the basketball. You know, regardless of the situation, how close the game is, you know, whether it's coming down to taking the last shot or taking the charge or going for the loose ball, whatever it is, you know what I mean? Just whoever's always, you know, hungry, who wants the basketball, you know, they put that work in and determine. They know if they get the ball that they can score without a problem. I mean, they're demanding the ball. I kind of heard you talking about LeBron, you know, asking was he clutch or whatever, but I don't think he has that clutch gear in his car just yet.
No, I agree, Pat.
Yeah, but I mean he's a great, awesome player, man. But I think if he added that to his game, he'd definitely be even more unstoppable. But I don't think he has that killer like a guy like Kevin Durant or. I mean, even Melo has it. I think Melo, he demands the ball. You know, of course, Michael Jordan had it, but, I mean, not every player has it, so. But,
right.
Yeah.
Well, right. Let me ask you this, Pat. You say he doesn't have it. He's been in the league for several years. You think he's ever going to acquire that, or is that something you just have to be born with?
I think it's going to be even more difficult for him to acquire it now because he knows that the media and the fans are on his back. So it's like, it's not even the point now. It's rather nice. Plus, I think now it's like so much pressure on him. Like, it's even more pressure than if he just performed the first couple of years. But now it's like, man, he's not going to take the shot, or is he going to make the shot? So it's like, I don't think LeBron has hit too many game winners like that. So, I mean, it's kind of it's going to be a lot of pressure on him, man. So I think it's even kind of like a phobia, man, like how Shaq struggled at the free throw line. That's how I think, you know, LeBron is being clutch.
Right. I mean, for me, like I said, my problem is I just don't understand how, you know, some people, man, I mean, I've never seen a phenomenon like this, but I've never seen, you know, people defend him so much and, you know, make excuses for him. And I'm like, you got to call it what it is. I mean, you can't look at it for 9 years and, you know, not, you know, you can't look at it for 9 years and then say, well, you know, he's clutch or, you know, then people try to diminish it. You know, things like that, you know, I said, well, no, he doesn't have to be clutch or he doesn't have to. Yeah, you do. When you know, for me, I think the worst thing, Pat, that LeBron ever did was tattoo the chosen one across his back, you know, go to South Beach and come out the floor like he was at a rock show with the other two dudes. And then the stuff he said, you can't write checks in this society, especially with a high media society like it is, and say things like that and not think people are going to sit back and say, okay, you wrote the check, you know, let's see if your behind can cash it. And when you don't, you know what I'm saying? So,
Hey, Mac, we have a caller. You want to bring him in or you want to keep on talking with him?
We can bring one in, that's fine.
Okay. Call from the 313. Welcome to the No Chaser Show with Mac and special guest Pat the Rock. State your name and what you got to say.
Well, I'm just a guest this evening, and I'm just listening in today.
This is
trying
my
to see
aunt.
What I can learn.
This is my aunt. Hi, sister. I know
well,
that
I
voice
even,
anywhere.
I can't even disguise myself. I heard that there was a lot of great information on this show, so I decided to just listen in tonight and see what I can learn.
All
well,
right,
we appreciate you calling in and listening.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sister. See you later. I love you.
Love you, too.
All right. Oh, man, my
all
mother,
right,
man, she works it. She works it, Pat. She works it, man. She called everybody in the family listening on the show. Jesus. I
so
can't even say what I want to say, Pat.
My question is this, then. You both described clutch. Now, do you think because of what LeBron, and I'm not a LeBron supporter at all, and Mac knows that, do you think LeBron had a clutch moment last night? I'll ask either one of you to answer that question. Did he just have a clutch moment?
I'll let Pat answer that.
He scored like 40-something?
Yeah, he was saying,
he
was just like, is that a clutch moment? Was that clutch last night?
What was the game? Was it close or not really? Wasn't really close.
No,
you didn't see the game. See, I didn't see it either.
It wasn't close, right?
No,
right.
It was not close, no.
Right. Right. Absolutely. I get what you're saying. You agree with me then, Pat. It has to be the win can't be in doubt. You know, it can't be, I mean, the win can't be for sure. You know?
Right.
Yeah, like I would have to wait and see. Like maybe if that was Game 7, maybe that's different. But if Game 7 performance like that in Game 7, I would say plus. But they still got one more. I got to see the next game.
Right.
Okay. So
is he in the
right? So if he did it last night, so tomorrow night, if he does it again, then you can, I wouldn't say put a moniker on LeBron saying he was clutch. He's a clutch player, but he performed in a clutch moment. Is that fair to say?
But then again, you know what? It was kind of clutch because, you know, they were facing an eliminator last night.
You stole my thought because that's what I was going to say. I was like, it's kind of clutch. You know, and that's why I gave him kudos on Facebook. I was like, you know what? He stepped up and he did what he had to do, you know, regardless. I had to give him credit for it because it was a win-or-go-home situation. No, it wasn't Game 7. No, it wasn't a close game. But at the same time, you know, if he had performed like that, you know, who knows what might have happened. So, you know, he did what he had to do. But, you know, like I said, he's not a clutch player. To me, you can do a lot of clutch things, but I'm gonna tell you, for me, you have to do it consistently. Not saying you have to hit every shot, but like you said, you have to want it, and you have to wanna, you know, you have to wanna hit that shot. You have to want that shot and take the brunt of the decision to take the shot, and whatever it is, whether you're a goat or a hero, you accept that, you know, and take it. And I would have a lot more respect for him if that were the case. So, you know, the only thing I'll say is, you know, for his supporters, they're unique people. I told Jerry, you know, I said, sometimes I'm confused. Sometimes I almost feel like I'm talking to either LeBron supporters or Barack Obama supporters, one of them, because they all get violent and they all get crazy. You know, so, I you say anything negative about them, they're ready to kill you. So I just don't, you know, I don't understand that. But my next question I really want to ask you, though, is this. Pat. I want to kind of explain this for the people who are listening. One of the things that I've always been impressed with, that's always amazed me about you, when I talk to you, I've probably never said it to you, but to take something that you love to do, which was street basketball, and I've seen you, I've watched you start out at AN1 with getting, you know, trying out, trying to get on, playing on the opposite team, to getting on the team, to playing, and getting paid for it. But you and the professor, and we're going to have a professor on next week, you and the professor have seemed to take what looked like a seed, a small seed, and you've made it grow. Like, I've seen your picture on Gatorade over in Japan. I've seen you have your own shoe, your own app. can you please explain to people how did you get from just the street basketball to now making this your living and your full time work and the opportunities of taking advantage of you and you and Fess just good Lord. Every time I turn around it's like, I got this, I got this, I got that, I got this deal, that deal, I'm doing. You're getting paid for what you love to do, but it's not the NBA and it's not overseas. How did you do that?
Well, I mean, I just think it's working hard, man. Working hard and stress, man. People, they don't see, you know, the process of it all. They just see the final product. They see, oh, this guy, he's on this TV show, or he's on this Gatorade bottle, or he's on this cereal box. But they don't realize, you know, the hours we'll put in. You know what I mean? I work real hard on my game, man. Like, a lot of the ability that I have is not natural. From being in the gym hours upon hours. All your friends want to go to the party. Nah, I'm not going. I'm going to the gym. Everybody want to go hang out over here. Nah, I'm good, man. I'm going to get some shots up. So, I mean, all of that stuff, you know, the long run paid off. You know, just taking the basketball everywhere, people laughing at you. Like, why is he playing the basketball? I put a camera on Facebook not too long ago. I said, I used to take my basketball everywhere. You know, my basketball takes me everywhere. So, I mean, If you're passionate about something, man, if you work at it, man, like, you'll be blessed to do it for a long time and, you know, have fun with it. Yeah. I'm grateful for all the opportunities I have, man.
Give me a typical day for Pat the Rock as far as what is the normal day for you, like a workout day, a day like what is your typical day, what do you do? When you get up, I mean, what is your regimen? Like, how many shots do you get up? How long do you time your workouts? Give me a sense of what your full day is like, a day with Pat the Rock, if you were just working out and you all business. Give me that. And if you can, I don't know if you can, but can you, like, speak a little bit louder? Because you're muffled a little bit. We can hear you, but just get a little closer to the phone or whatever, if you can.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, man, a lot of hours, man, like, I was actually working with some kids yesterday at this high school, and I was telling them, you know, I asked them how many hours a day do they work on that game. And some of them said 2 hours, some said 3 hours, and so on. So I said, how many of you want basketball to be a job one day? And all of them raised their hand. And then I asked them, I said, how many hours are there in a 9-to-5? They said 8 hours. I said, well, if you want basketball to be a job, then why can't you play 8 hours a day? That's a job, right? And, you know, I mean, that's the type of mindset I always had, you know, when I was training. Like, this morning, I went to my old high school, Patuxent. The school, coach opens up the gym, and I was up there at 6 o'clock this morning. So, I mean, I've already been to about 2 or 3 gyms and just today. And I got another workout tonight that I'm doing at a different rec. You know? So, I mean, it's really how hard you work at it, man. Like I said, people don't really see the process. They just see the final product. But you work at something, man, it can take you a long way.
Now, Jerry, unless you have a question, I'm going to ask another one unless you have a question.
Okay.
Okay.
I know you toured the country as I'm looking at your website. You toured the country as a motivational speaker. Talk to me about the team Anything Is Possible initiative that you have.
Okay, well, yeah, Team AIP, that's something I started a couple years ago. Basically, that message, AIP, you know, 3 simple letters, it was passed on to me by this old guy early in my career. And, you know, he just basically told me, man, Pat, remember AIP, which stands for Anything Is Possible. He said, man, if you want to be passionate about basketball, if this is what you want to do in life, remember that. And, I mean, just the way he told me, it really stuck with me. And, you know, I definitely owe those 3 letters, you know, a lot of credit for me being successful in my career. And, you know, it came a point in time where I felt like, you know, I can't be selfish. I got to pass this on to the next generation. So I started a nonprofit organization, Team AIP. And basically what we do is we teach kids how to set goals and, you know, continue to believe that anything is possible.
Okay. Let me ask you this. How did you get from, now, I know you put in a lot of work, but in particular, how do you get these deals? Do they come to you? Do you have an agent? Does it come to you through somebody calls you and says, hey, we'd love to have you do this or that? How do these deals and these opportunities to make money, put yourself on a Gatorade bottle in China and things, how do these things come about? Is it just networking or you just meet people or how does that come about?
Just basically recommendations, man. Like when you put on a good performance and you carry yourself well and you can see how hard you work at your craft. I mean, that's, I look back at my whole career and it's like, man, it's just one thing just led to another. Like, man, just work hard, man, and people will recognize that. People can tell if you've been in the gym 2 hours a day or if you've been in the gym 8 hours a day. And
mm-hmm.
So when they see that you're passionate about something, then they want you to represent that and want you to represent their product as well. And that's how I got a deal with Gatorade. That's how I got a deal to have my own shoe. That's how, all those cool opportunities
mm-hmm.
built you up. So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I feel like even when you start to become more successful, you have to work even harder. It's crazy. You got to work even harder than what you did to get to where you're at. So, I mean,
yeah,
I worked harder now than that.
Okay. Now, where did you get your work ethic from? Where did you get that work ethic from?
I think it's just something. I made a decision when I was young. My goal was to be a professional basketball player, and I wasn't gonna let anybody tell me any different. Like in high school, I was the smallest kid on the team. I sat on the end of the bench. But, that didn't stop me, from trying to shoot my own brain. I got cut in college twice. I got cut from numerous teams after that, professional teams. But I just kept working at it, and I found out, man, if you just have a crucial work ethic, man, and work hard, man, then shoot, eventually your time will come.
Right. So it wasn't a parent or anybody like that who just you watched somebody else work hard, or is just something that just you guys kind of got it at a young age.
My mom, she actually taught me how to play basketball, man. She's still trying to go to the court and shoot around sometimes, but she had a good mom, man. So she taught me a lot. This was just working on my game and always supporting me, trying to get me to go out and practice and just put that extra time in. So I definitely give her a lot of credit, man, because she had me want to play games. But I look back now and I'm appreciative of that stuff, man.
Well, that's great. Do you have any, is there anywhere in there where God may have played a role in any of this, or are you a Christian, or have you? And I only ask that because I try to incorporate that in my radio show if I can, and I just don't know what the role of God played in your life or what have you. So I'm kind of just asking, is there anything like that in your life right now?
Oh man, that's you said anything played everything without God, none of this would be possible. I say AIP all the time, but really it should be AIP for God. They just every time I'm home in town, I go to church. I try to read the scripture every morning before I go out and work out. You never forget, where you come from, and always stay humble and stay grounded. So I'm definitely a Christian dude, and
well, that's great, man. That's great, Pat. Hey, Pat. So give me your prediction. Give me your prediction on what's going to happen tomorrow, and then if it's the Heat, playing KD and them, what do you predict that? Just give me an assessment of what you think about that.
Yeah, well, I think, everybody's swimming in the Heat, but, that's just giving more motivation to the Celtics. I mean, they've been in this position before. They got a lot of veterans, and, all I got to say is the Heat, they don't have any room for error. They got to go out there and play hard the whole game, because I know the Celtics, they come with a chip on their shoulder. Like, I mean, they could mess around and win the championship still. You just never know. Like,
right.
I'm always looking at the team that that people are overlooking.
Right. Okay. So, anything, any events coming up or anything like that that you got coming up that, you know, maybe local or away or anything like that? I know the show, but, you know,
yeah,
I don't know if you have any.
I'm actually doing a basketball camp next week at Lowell High School. I'm
okay.
$15, so it's only, I think, $29. And, you know, it's more than just basketball. It's also a life skill, so we're just trying to help the kids and do what they're going to do, man. And give them a positive message for the summertime, man. Also, they get to learn some of these cool different skills. So it'll be a good look, man. Looking forward to that.
Okay. And can people still register for that?
Yeah. They can still sign up. They can sign up online. You know, you can check my Facebook for the flyer, or they can just, you know, come in on Monday and sign up.
Where do they sign up at packerock.com or how do they do that?
Yeah, you can look on my on facebook.com/packerock, PATHEROC, or you can like I said, you can just sign up on Monday at Lowell High School, which is in Lowell, Maryland. And it's gonna be a good time, man.
Okay. Well, that's great, man. I just want people to come out and support you. So I definitely, you know, think if there's any parents or any kids out there that want to go to, you know, Pat the Rock camp, by all means go. It'll be a very positive experience. You know, Pat, I really appreciate you, man, coming in here. Unless, do you have any questions for him at all, Jerry?
No, I think everything that I wanted to know you had asked him, and he either explained it out. So I'm good.
All right. All right, well, Pat, look, we're going to let you go, man. But thanks for the 30 minutes that you gave us, man. I really appreciate that. I just really appreciate what you did, man, and coming on here. You know, I've been a big fan of yours, but also we've been friends for a long time. And you know what? I'm going to start back up. God's been getting on me about starting back up on the devotionals again. Because I've been slipping for a long time, been busy, and he got on me the other day and was like, dude, you need to start sending those joints again. So I was like, okay, I'm going to send them. So I'm going to get back on it starting tomorrow and start sending them every day, because I got a few people I've seen and be like, you ain't doing that no more? I'm like, yeah, I am. You know, so I know when they asking me, they need it.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Yeah, I remember I used to hear you be like, man, that thing helped me out, man, when I need that word. So, you know, thanks, man. I really appreciate it, Pat, man. And we're going to have you back, man. You know, we might have you back, you know, after the basketball season's over. We may have you back during the summer, just find out what you're doing. And also, I'd like to get you on, you know, towards the start of the next season, so we can get maybe you can do a nice little preview for us, what you think and everything like that. So, you know, I really appreciate it, Pat, man. Be well, man. God bless you, man. And, me and you, we'll talk this summer down here at the Goodman at some point in time.
That's right, man. Got you. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you, man. Take it easy, man. That's Pat the Rock. Thank you for coming to the show, baby.
Thank you. No problem.
All right. No problem. Thanks, man. Bye. You got it? You got it, Jerry? All right. Well, yeah, I think that was a great interview. I think I want to thank Pat the Rock for coming in and talking to me, or whatever. And
absolutely.
I really appreciate that. I really appreciate that. So, I mean, Jerry, explain to me just in this last few minutes we got, because they're signaling me I gotta go, but I might let you take over in a minute. But I just wanted to have you ask, you know, what is clutch to you? And I never asked
clutch,
you.
Clutch to me. Is defined as a guy that is a difference maker in the game. A guy that he doesn't have to necessarily take the last shot. He doesn't have to necessarily be the defensive stalwart.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me back in the 70s, because I happen to be a Knicks fan. I think you know where I'm going with here.
Willis Reed.
We talking about Willis Reed. walking in with one leg against the L.A. Lakers, and that was what I consider, and he did quite a few of those, but that was probably one of the biggest clutch moments and inspiration to his team against the Lakers, because the Lakers were looking at when Willis walked on the floor, they pretty much were stunned that he actually walked on the floor, because they thought he was out of that game and quite naturally a series. And it took him aback, and it inspired his team, and I think it intimidated, because he wasn't in for that long, and he made a couple of shots, but it intimidated that team, and it included Jerry West, Wilt Chamberlain and company, and they went on to win the championship. So something like that is a clutch moment and a clutch type of player without even taking a game-winning shot.
Right.
So, I mean, there's different ways of being clutch and being a clutch player, and that's one of the examples I have. Preface this by saying that LeBron James doesn't have that type of makeup. When he walks on the court, he's just basically another player. He's a world-class player. He's one of the best players in the league. Some say he's the best player in the league.
I venture to say KD is, I think, especially after the other night, of consistent play, I think he's the best player. And I heard a lot of people say they thought he should have got the MVP instead of LeBron.
Mac, I totally agree with you. I've been saying this, shouting this from the rooftops, that I consider KD the man. I consider him the clutch player. It's obvious what he did to inspire his team when the team needed the most. He stepped up, says, come with me, jump on my back, I'm going to take you home, and that's exactly what he did. LeBron doesn't do that on a consistent basis. In my opinion, KD is the MVP, they were chanting near the end of that game when they closed out San Antonio. Now, just check this out. The Oklahoma City Thunder, led by Kevin Durant, took out Dallas Mavericks, last year's champion, took out the Los Angeles Lakers, and took out the San Antonio Spurs. Now, from what I understand, I could be wrong about this, 10 of the last 13 world championships in the NBA were won by these three teams. And they took them out one at a time, one after the other.
Right.
And they took out the last one handily, four straight, after that team had won 20 games straight and thought they were on their way. The Young Guns, and I've said this before, were like sponges. They understood what was going on after the second game and said, you know what? We got to step it up. We can do this. We're a better team. And they proved it, taking four straight, which hadn't happened to the San Antonio Spurs ever in the playoffs.
Wow.
Ever.
Wow. That's impressive.
That's very impressive.
That's impressive. I mean, pretty much, And to be honest, you know what the scary thought is? I don't even think he's had his – I think he'll have his best games in these finals. I think he will establish himself, if not the best player, one of the best.
Let me tell you, Mac, I know you know KD personally. I don't know Kevin Durant at all, but I've been shouting from the rooftops when he came on the scene 3 years ago. I've been shouting from the rooftops that this kid is the man. I mean, just by his makeup, just by his personality, he's a very humble young kid, young guy, and he's got a world of talent, and he still hasn't reached his maximum level of talent yet. He's still growing as a player, which is scary for a 6'9", 6'10", guy that can score, can defend, and it's scary.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree.
I'm going to try to get down there to where you're at to see you coach for one, to meet you in person for another, and also see KD in person and see him play. Because
oh,
I've
man.
Yet to see
yeah.
him play in person. So
yeah, it's something special, man. I'm hoping he does stop by this year. But with the Olympics coming up, I think he's going to be coming straight from here, going straight to somewhere else. So we'll see what
okay.
happens. But in the meantime, I'm about to check out of here, all you folks. I'm going to let Jared carry the rest of the way. My team is coming towards me, and I'm going to go ahead and coach them. Tonight we have the champ. I coach the champ, the league champs, Lincoln Park. We are going to try to get a much-needed win. I don't have Baby Shaq with me, but we will do what we have to do, and we will pull out a win, and we will be after it next week again. All right? So thank you, Jared.
Be well, my brother.
It, man.
And be well, my brother, and good luck tonight.
All right, man. Thank you, man. I'll talk to you later, man. Thank you, and thank everybody for listening. All right?
I appreciate it, Dylan.
Okay. All right, that was Mac Williams, the host of the No Chaser Show. Has to do his due, has to be the coach, which is what he does. But I'm going to carry the torch for the next 15 to 20 minutes because that's who I am. I happen to be the co-host. I'm JT, a.k.a. the master, master of none. But what can I tell you? That's how I roll here. Anyway. Let's talk about this. Last night, LeBron James scored 45 points and had double digit rebounds, and I think about a handful of assists. In my opinion, and one of the things I was alluding to when Pat the Rock and Mac was on, is that LeBron James, he could be on the edge. Let me put it. I think it's on the edge of him being a clutch player. Mac and I agree that you are the clutch gene. You don't acquire the clutch gene. It's not something that you can learn. It's got to be something it's a gene. I mean, if you have to be born with it. You just don't acquire something like that. Now, in my opinion, last night, LeBron James had a clutch moment. That's my opinion. He had a clutch moment. I don't think it was clutch. He had a clutch moment because the fact, just like Mac alluded to earlier, he hasn't done it over a consistent basis. You never know what's going to happen with LeBron. LeBron can throw in a clunker tomorrow night against the Boston Celtics at home. They're all high-flying most of the time. I'm talking about the Miami Heat. When the score is in double digits or more, or actually in double digits, 10 points or more, but when the game gets close, any haters out there, any guys that want to dispute me, the number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. Bring it on. If you got an argument, I can deal with it if you can. What I was saying is the game gets close. The team seems to get that virus, that LeBron virus, that type of virus that I don't want the ball. You take the ball. If you want to take that clutch shot, if you want to take that shot that counts, go ahead. It's not going to be me because I can't deal with it. That's been LeBron's MO for the longest. It was his MO in the playoffs last year. It was his MO up until yesterday in the playoffs this year. We were talking about KD. KD wasn't like that. He's always risen to the occasion when it counted. Throughout the playoffs, in Dallas series, in the Lakers series, and the San Antonio series. And I don't see anything different because, mama, you put that gene in your boy. He's got that clutch gene. I'm talking about Kevin Durant. Mama, you did not give that clutch gene to LeBron James. He seems to shy away from that. Now, LeBron's a great player. He's a good player. But there's been a lot of good players that have not been that type of clutch player. They've scored a lot of points done a lot of things in the games, but haven't performed well in crunch time. Well, it's crunch time tomorrow. Let's see if LeBron James is going to rise to the occasion like he needs to. He needs to have another monster effort in order for his team to go to the finals. Everyone since last year has said that the Heat were going to win the title. They went to the finals. That's true. They went to the finals, but they couldn't get over the hump against the Dallas Mavericks. Well, Kevin Durant and company are waiting for him this year. Let's see what LeBron James can do to get to that second opportunity. Now, what's going to happen if the Heat get to the finals and get beaten again? Maybe I'm jumping ahead of myself, but there's a strong possibility because the Oklahoma City Thunder are on a serious roll. Like I said before, like we had talked earlier, they've beaten last year's Dallas Mavericks world champions. They've beaten the Los Angeles Lakers, and they've beaten the San Antonio Spurs, who had the best record this year of all the teams in the league, and were on a serious roll, had won 20 straight games, including the first two games against Oklahoma City. So what's going to happen? Now, is LeBron James and company going to perform and outplay Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden and company, or are they going to succumb to the youth and the Oklahoma City Thunder? I'll give you my analysis on the FSP show, which is on Saturday at 1 o'clock. I'll be talking with Vic Gardner, who happens to be the host there, and I co-host that. And I also do it on Sunday, which happens to be the master plan. I host that all by myself. Same place, same time. That's at 10 o'clock in the morning. It's an hour show, 10 o'clock in the morning Eastern Standard Time. I'm on it. It's called the master plan. So we have those, and then I'll be also assessing after the fact what happened with the Heat on Saturday, also the Pacquiao-Bradley fight, which is coming up, and also the Belmont Stakes, which is coming up. So there's a lot of things happening this weekend, and a lot of good things in sports happening this weekend. Whether you are a basketball fan, a boxing fan, or a horse racing fan, there's something for everyone that's happening this weekend. And you should enjoy wherever you're at, that this weekend may be an enjoyable weekend. Happens to be my anniversary. Be married 28 years to my wonderful wife. Tomorrow is my anniversary, so I'll be enjoying it with families and friends, along with my wife. So let's talk about something else here. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about what the Celtics need to do to beat the big three. Since Chris Bosh is back, and I think he'll be getting healthier and better each game that he plays, the Boston Celtics may have a harder time of beating the Miami Heat because, in parentheses, the big three are back together again. Herculean effort from LeBron James caused the Heat not to lose. Usually, those type of things don't happen back-to-back games. usually a team or a person has a big, big performance. And then it's either a mediocre performance or a very bad performance. That's just the nature of the sport. It's hard to have one of those type of efforts back-to-back. But I do believe, I've said it before and I'll say it again, and it pretty much goes without saying, it only makes sense that you have to win a game in the other person's building. Miami's done it once. Boston now has to do it twice. So we'll see what now the shoe's on the other foot. We'll see what Boston is made of going back to South Beach, having to pull out a game and give a Herculean effort. Paul Pierce needs to step up like he did in this last game, like he didn't in this last game. Ray Allen needs to step up like he didn't in the last game. Kevin Garnett needs to have a better game. You can't rely on Rajon Rondo to be the top scorer. The Boston Celtics are an unselfish team that distribute the ball well. It has to be that a collective effort. You guys have to have four or five players in double figures to be able to beat the Heat. Kevin Garnett has to be a force like he was in the games that Boston's won. So Kevin Garnett has to bring a, for lack of a better word, a LeBron James type of effort to Game 7 in order for the Celtics to win. Okay. So, you know, what more can I say? I've been beating a dead horse. I've beaten a dead horse with that. I'm really anxious to get past this portion of the game, a series, and get to Tuesday when the East and the West meet, and it'll be settled on the court from the first game until whoever wins, it's the first to four. So whoever wins four games quite naturally out of the seven, it's going to be crowned world champs. It seems to me that the hardest road was taken by OKC, taking on those three teams versus the Miami Heat. And they played the Knicks, they played the Pacers, and they played the Oklahoma City Thunder. I mean, excuse me, they played the Boston Celtics. So depending on who wins, who's a better battle-tested team, I'll give you the opportunity to have that, to make up that conclusion. I won't give that conclusion to you. You go for yourself. All right. What do I want to go through now? With about 6 minutes left in the show, let's talk this. Let's talk about some NFL news real quick. We'll talk about this. Mr. Roger Goodell. He was the had suspended some players, and he's supposed to hear their appeals. I think the second arbitrator has ruled that Roger Goodell has authority to discipline the four New Orleans Saints players for the roles in the Bounty program. What else is new? What else he's going to say? You know, he's the judge and jury, and Jonathan Vilma I hope you've got an alternative to income, because the $6 or $7 million that you were supposed to make this year is not coming, and you're not a young man. So a year off of your playing days is a very severe penalty, along with the other guys that who also got suspended. Will Smith for 4 games, Anthony Hargrove for 8 games, and Scott Fujita for 3 games. So it is what it is. All I can say is this. You shouldn't have done it. Vilma says it never happened, that he wants to see proof. I don't think that's going to happen, but you never know what may happen to maybe the proof will come out, and the Jonathan Vilma and company won't have anything to say. But it is what it is. And you know, the speaking of the NFL, the Giants celebrated by going to see Mr. Barack Obama and celebrate their win at the White House today. So that's another thing that's been happening. All of them, not like it, guys in the past, because of their politics, refused to go to the White House. All of them, including Tom Coughlin and Tom Coughlin, Eli Manning and company, all of them showed up and gave Barack Obama a Giants jersey with the number 44, because he's the 44th president, the 44. So, with that being said, I got a little more than 2 minutes left in the game. A little more than 2 minutes left in the show. So I'm going to plug every show that we have before I get out of here myself, because I got things to do and people to see. It's going to be a nice weekend, and I want to be able to enjoy it to the fullest. So without further ado, tune in tomorrow on Saturday. Like I said before, it'll be the FSP show, which is hosted by Vic Gardner, co-hosted by myself. I'll probably be jumping in and out, like I said, on my wedding anniversary is tomorrow, so I don't know how much time I'll be able to spend on the radio talking. But that's at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And then on Sunday, it's the Master Plan. I'm hosting that from 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time in the morning. It's only an hour show. So if you like what you're hearing here, I'm again on Saturday. I'm also again on Sunday. And I'm also again on Thursday. So if you want a dose of what I have to say, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in some form or fashion. Thursdays at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Friday, just like you're listening to me, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Saturday, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And also, we have another program that is called Compassion Dakini with Kim Fun, who happens to be on at 4 o'clock on Tuesdays. Completely different show from the first three shows that I mentioned. Kim, first four shows that I mentioned. Kim is totally different than anything you've heard. It's very interesting. I suggest anyone that would love to hear what she has to say. It's very enlightening to the mind and body. You would enjoy what she has to say. So without further ado, talk to me and Mac next week with this show called No Chaser. Mac left already. He's coaching his team. I'm JT, a.k.a. The Master, and I'm out of here. Peace to you. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.